Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from us, superlative mayor of Shamokin Dam.
Across from us, are there more than one of you?
Well, Rob and I are on this side. You're on that side. And
Rob's in another room.
He is definitely, but he's this on this side.
Well, that's true. He is on the opposite side of where I am from you.
Okay. Right. And you and I are agree on the, our opposites in terms
always
of
on opposite sides.
Politics and personalities.
Everything.
Right.
But that's all right.
You're
you have the
it
right
and,
to be wrong.
Yeah, you're losing it, and I'm hanging in there. So that's all we know.
Oh, I already lost it. I've been searching for it
it's
for a
gone.
Month. Yeah, it's gone.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Not just random digits. That is the toll-free line. You can call us today. 1-800-795-9565. We can talk about the very latest from Iraq or impeachment or, let's see, Iran erupted with protests over the weekend, and President Trump is fully in support of those protesters looking for regime change in Iran. It's funny how they have little mood swings, you could call it, in Iran, where one day they're supporting their Supreme Ayatollah and other times not. So today would be one of those not opportunities. President Trump did and probably accurately claim credit as the what shall we say, poop stir that helped get that going in Iran right now. So we can talk about that. Of course, it all relates to the shoot down of the airliner over there, so we can talk about that. You are welcome throughout our program, including right now, to send us an email at onthemark@wkok.com. That's our email address. We'd love to hear from you. And you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. Text Connect is our way of notifying you of important breaking national or local news, closed major roads around here. And let's see, what do we use? We used a text. Oh, last week when U.S. Congressman Fred Keller announced re-election, we used the Text Connect system to let people know. And speaking of Congressman Keller, his campaign has arranged for him to appear on WKOK's On the Mark show this morning at 9:30. So Fred Keller, who's serving a special term of Congress right now for Tom Marino, is going to be in today. And he's campaigning for his first official two-year term in the U.S. Congress. Of course, he's campaigned a couple times last year, but now he's campaigning for the first time as a sitting congressman for a two-year term, sort of a normal term, for lack of another phrase, for that. So,
I can't think of another phrase that would be more appropriate, since that's exactly what it is, a two-year regular term.
Okay. He's regular.
I think you've hit the nail on the head,
Thank
Mark.
Thank you. I was going to try to...
You got the acorn.
I was trying to overcomplicate things a little bit.
Well, you almost succeeded. I had no idea what you were talking about for a minute.
All right. So Joe's in rare form. How was your weekend, buddy?
Oh, it was very good. And yours?
Fine. Did your NFL team win?
I didn't really have a team over the weekend. After the Eagles and the Steelers got knocked out, my interest declined. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, marginally happy to see the Ravens lose. Glad to see Green Bay win.
Mm-hmm. What about San Francisco?
Well, they're an outstanding team. They're going to be hard to beat. Could go all the way.
We were 4-0 for the teams we were rooting for this weekend.
Oh, really? Wow, good for you.
That never happens.
So you're going to keep rooting for those?
Well, my wife is a diehard 49ers fan.
Okay.
So we'll root for the 49ers for sure. And I'd like to see Andy Reid go to win another
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, I would too. I'd like to see Andy Reid win.
So we're hoping for that. 49ers Chiefs.
And you got to say the Chiefs had the best game of the day. I mean, that was outstanding, coming down from 24 points back.
Yeah, 24-0 early in the second quarter. Seven straight drives they scored a touchdown.
Yep.
Wow.
Mahomes outdid himself. They ran out of fireworks on the display at the Arrowhead Stadium.
They had to put on the scoreboard. They had to apologize on the scoreboard to fans for not having fireworks.
Isn't
to
that
shoot
funny?
Off.
I tried to watch a little of the games each day, but I just couldn't get glued to it. And then I found out I missed, I guess, the Super game yesterday afternoon, the first one.
I felt bad because my wife called me for dinner right when the Chiefs were down 24-0. I thought, well, this is a blowout. I came back and the score was 24-21. I thought, man, what happened while I was gone?
The Chiefs scored 3 touchdowns in 3 minutes and 20 seconds, something like that.
Wow.
Pretty
yeah.
fast.
So they're a tour de force going into the playoffs.
Yeah. yeah well,
or going into the next round.
Houston put up a good show for a while, but they just couldn't keep up with them.
Okay. Wore them down. All right. Well, fabulous. Well, when it comes time, you can listen to the games on the radio next Sunday afternoon. We start at 2 p.m. with the AFC, and then it's about 6:15 or so, we'll have the NFC on WKOK. So thank you, Rob, for the update. Very much. That's the first thing I asked him today. Who won all these games?
You didn't know?
Well, I didn't pay too much attention. I don't really have a dog in this fight, as they say. So last week I didn't either, but I enjoyed watching it, and I was rooting for the Eagles last weekend, so that fell apart.
Well, the nice thing is that somebody will be the Super Bowl champion this year who hasn't been one for a while.
Oh, okay.
Or ever. Is there anybody? No, the San Francisco 49ers won it.
Yeah, they've won 5.
Green Bay's won it.
The Chiefs have won before.
Chiefs won, recent, not under Andy Reid's term.
Correct. Right. They haven't won since Hank Stram, I think.
Hank Stram, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And who's the other one?
The Titans have never won.
They've never won, yeah.
And okay. They were the Houston Oilers before, and they never won as the Oilers either, so.
And who's the underdog who really just doesn't belong on this list?
The Titans.
Yeah, Titans, yeah. Okay. But they beat the Patriots and the Ravens, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I am a Titans fan.
Could go all the way.
I'll pick the Titans. They're the underdog.
They're hungry.
There you go. I'll root for them. Who's a famous player from the Titans so I can talk about them?
I don't think they have one, do they?
No, they're more of a team than anybody else. Okay. So their quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. So go.
All right, I'll remember that. Tannehill.
He's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not bad.
And Henry, the running back.
Yeah. Go Titans.
Okay.
See, an allegiance is born. So whimsical.
There was an old Titans team in the old AFC, and I don't remember who that was. Was that Los Angeles or somewhere? Rob, test your memory.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Back in the 70s.
I'm going to have to cheat to find that.
Yeah, well, all right. Never mind. I guess it's not that important. So what do we got today, brother? Impeachment?
Well, yes. We have the president claiming partial credit for the Iran protesters, which I'm not sure that that's...
Hey, you want to hear something good?
I think he's right.
The Washington CNN reported this morning that a majority of Americans say they disapprove of President Trump's handling of Iran and feel less safe. According to an ABC News PSOS poll released on Sunday, the poll shows 56% of Americans say they disapprove of the way Trump is dealing with escalating tensions with Iran, while 43% say they approve. The poll was conducted on January 10th and 11th, the same week Iran launched retaliatory attacks against Iraqi bases housing U.S. troops after an American drone strike killed Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani. Asked about the U.S. airstrike, the majority, 52%, said it has made the United States less safe. Only 25% of Americans said they felt more safe, and 22% said it had not much of an effect at all. 32% of respondents said they were somewhat concerned about the possibility of the U.S. getting involved in a full-scale war with Iran, while 41% said they were somewhat concerned, 20% not so concerned, 7% not at all concerned. Broken down by party affiliation, a total of 94% of Democrats and 52% of Republicans said they were either very concerned or somewhat concerned about the potential of another conflict in the Middle East, where only 6% of Democrats and 48% of Republicans said they were not concerned or not very concerned. So, you know, this, who are they talking to? Liberals and...
Well, I would
snowflakes?
Assume so. That's who would be They're watching ABC.
Interviewing snowflakes? Is that what it was? What?
I don't know. Do you feel less safe after what's going on in the
Middle
East?
No, I don't feel
less
safe. I actually feel safer.
Well, and you had mentioned you felt as though the president has shown restraint lately, not following his whimsical interests and listening to some of his key people who say, well, you can only, you know, a measured response would only be this or an appropriate response would only be that. And he's listened to that. So that's, you know, you and I often don't argue the same side of the coin when We're talking about the president, but that sounds like that sounds presidential.
Well, it was. And I think the other interesting thing is that when he disagreed with
still
his,
a buffoon, don't get me wrong.
I got you. I never assumed anything less from
okay,
him.
Thank you.
I think it's fair to say that when he was not listening to his advisors with Russia, where he disagreed with them, the left and the media were just beside themselves. How can he ignore these professionals? Then he heeds their advice and takes this guy out, and all of a sudden it's, oh, well, what's he doing that for? He must really, he's just trying to deflect from impeachment.
Well, and that was the only action he took. There were previous actions he wished to take, and, you know, these generals say...
He didn't respond after they fired a few rockets at us.
And the actions that he wished to take afterward, and in both cases, you know, just declined to do so, I guess he will at a later
date. If he wanted to escalate things after they fired rockets at our base, he could have taken out their power grid or done a number of other things. He didn't do it.
Well, and he's basking in the glow of this protest in Iran, where people are saying it's time for regime change after the flip-flop by the government about the shoot-down.
Is they're yelling at their government or that their Ayatollah, you don't have the right to make a mistake, because that's what he said when the Americans accidentally shot down a plane in the 1980s. And now it's the same
thing.
They're
using that phrase.
Yeah, they're saying you don't have the right to make a mistake. And I think they have some really serious issues over there with respect to human rights that, you know,
we should
probably take a closer look at.
Well, there seems to be conflicting reports today about whether the Iranian police or the Tehran police were using live rounds at protesters. They did shoot tear gas at the protesters, but AP was reporting they also shot live rounds at the protesters. Tehranian police say they shot live rounds into the air, but the AP has video or is showing it. I don't know, so...
You mean almost pathetic, AP?
Well, I don't know. You don't like them. Okay, well, that's fine. It's still a news source. They may left lean on
fake
some stories.
Fake news source.
Well, they in what way?
Well, they make stuff up.
Oh, right. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, so, okay, well, they made it up about the live rounds issue.
Well, I've heard other reporting that there were actually live rounds fired.
Oh, really? So maybe AP is 100% right.
Well, maybe they're 100%. Maybe they're 100% wrong too. So, but I mean, it wouldn't be out of character for that regime to fire live rounds at their citizens, would it?
Okay.
Would you think it would be out of character?
That would be very, very out of character. It's not their way.
It's not their way. Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I believe you think Idi Amin was a humanitarian.
But do you think the president has a role in this regime change? You know, he's saying that because of the fact that we've been pushing them and there's more economic sanctions and the people are already struggling because of the shoot down and the flip flop and the shooting of our interest was on that Iraqi airbase. Do you not agree that the president is accurately claiming some credit for the sort of public unrest that's happening right now?
Well, I think the left is going to say, well, if he hadn't done that in the first place, they wouldn't have fired, they wouldn't have come after us, and this wouldn't all happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but I think he had a choice to make. He made it. There's some now debate over whether or not the intelligence really was as damning as the president believes it was or is imminent. But does that really matter? If the guy was planning to take out Americans, we know he has done it in the past. He has American blood in his hands and the blood of some of our allies on his hands. Is it really wrong to take him out before he has the chance to do something bad to us? I mean, it's not like he suddenly announced...
Whether it's imminent or not.
Well, it's not like he suddenly was announced as a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize, and that he decided, he said, let's welcome Israel into the community of nations and let's put down our arms here and beat them into plowshares.
And he was negotiating and all that sort of thing.
Well...
Which he wasn't, I'm
saying.
And
he was in a foreign country. What was he doing there?
He was there to make peace.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
He was there to pick up his peace prize.
He's a humanitarian.
Of the year.
I hate to tell you, but they give that one out in Oslo, Norway.
Oh, I see. Okay. Maybe he's filling out the application.
Not in Damascus and not in Iran and not in Istanbul or any of those places.
Well, we are talking about the Middle East and the president's response. If you'd like to weigh in on that, feel free to do so. 1-800.
I'd like to know if you feel less safe.
Oh, yeah. Or if you feel less safe. Well... Or more safe, and why? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sent us a clipping about there's more women in the workforce than men these days, so that's probably good news. So we can talk about that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires, and they're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. You can either look at all of the existing pre-owned vehicles and brand-new vehicles that they have online, or you can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. They would also like to see you at the Quick Lane if your vehicle needs work, and then at the Sunbury Motor Company for your next vehicle. See Jason or Mickey or Jeff or Mike or Ernie or Austin, and they'll take good care of you no matter what at the Sunbury Motor Company. We got open lines right now, 1-800-795-9565. Our telephone number. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, Mark Lawrence, strikingly handsome. Oh, I already got that off the list. I already did that. Don't check that.
Forget well, that takes care of it for February.
No, I have to actually do it in February. I don't get credit unless I actually do it in the month.
In any event, that's an add-on. I didn't realize that.
Oh,
I didn't put
yeah,
that
in
your contract.
It's in my contract. It's in there. Hey, well, the Academy Award nominations are now out.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
We didn't get a chance to talk about that. The Best Picture nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. I've seen The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit,
Whatever.
Joker,
we don't care which
1917,
films you've seen.
And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I've seen five of them.
Right, we don't
How
care.
Many have you seen?
Once Upon a Time, Irishman, 17, Marriage Story, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Ford. None.
None, okay. Well, then you're in no position to discuss this.
I'm not. I'm just listening to you.
I was glad. I watched one yesterday. I saw one, Uncut Gems, which my son is very high on, and I thought was...
Really?
Yes, and he thought Adam Sandler doing a dramatic role might get nominated for an Academy Award, but he did not. The lead actors went to Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for The Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for The Joker, and Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. I thought Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker was one of the worst.
maybe he played a good character.
Well, I mean, he certainly played him a little differently. He certainly played him dark. Jojo Rabbit was an odd story about a kid in World War II Germany who has an imaginary pal, Adolf Hitler, who gives him advice and follows him around and talks to him about things.
Well, Adam Sandler got robbed.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
But, you know, the Irishman was great. Excellent movie. Joker was terrible. I didn't like it. 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was great, but 1917 is in a class all by itself.
Okay, that's a must-see.
That's a must-see. That's the Academy Award.
And that's at the theaters
winner.
Now, right?
Yes,
okay.
It's playing
so go now.
Now
if you want to see it.
And then the lead actress nominations went to...
Renee Zellweger for Judy. Charlize Theron for...
Bombshell.
Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. How do you say that?
Saroise Ronan.
Oh, well said. For Little Women.
Little Women. And Cynthia Erivo for Harriet.
Okay.
Not familiar with her.
Best director?
Supporting actor. Wait a second. Supporting actor went Tom Hanks, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. He was great in that. Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes. Al Pacino and Joe Pesci, both for The Irishman, and Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Why is Tom Hanks only a supporting actor in...
Because the story centered around a reporter who was sent to interview Mr. Rogers and his reaction. So the reporter was actually the star. The story centered around him.
Okay.
But, you know, Tom Hanks was just great in that.
Okay. Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress went to Kathy Bates, who's always good, and Richard Jewell. Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit. Florence Pugh for Little Women. And Margot Robbie for Bombshell. Margot Robbie was great in that. She really was. Bombshell's worth seeing if you hate Fox News, and I know you do. You ought to go see it.
I don't hate anybody. Now, knock it off.
And for director, Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Okay.
There you go. Those are the major nominations. And you haven't seen any of these movies, have you?
Mm-mm.
Well, you need to get down to the AMC tonight and get your popcorn and start.
I just wait till things come out on TV.
On TV? Well, you'll be waiting forever.
Well, Homebox, Cinemax, Showtime,
okay.
And I pay $962,000 a month for cable. The last thing I'm going to do is go to the movies.
Well, you should be ashamed. That's the real cinematic experience,
but,
sitting
but
in a dark theater.
But yet I feel no shame. Isn't that weird?
Well, you should. I go with my my big bag of popcorn, some M&Ms, and a soda. And
you go with popcorn. That's illegal.
Well,
you're
no,
supposed
I
to
buy it at the theater.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I said I'd go in and sit down with my big bag of popcorn.
Okay.
I find going to the movies an exciting experience.
Well, I do too, but who has time? Who can jam it in the busy weekends? I got a wife and kids to take care of.
You don't have any kids at home.
No,
your
but
bees? What, do you go out and take care of your bees?
Some days, yeah. I got
how many
lots
cats
to do.
You got?
Three.
Three, all right. Well, that's what you're doing, taking care of the cats.
Right. There's always barf to clean up somewhere.
Hair balls to pick up off the floor.
Whether you can find it or not.
Well, I just think going to the movies, I'm surprised to hear you say that you don't have time for that. It's something you make time for.
We watch a movie Saturday night at home on Netflix or Cinemax or Homebox, that kind of thing. So we're a little behind.
Well, you are behind. But, I mean, you must go to see
1917. I just saw Black Klansman a month or so ago.
Just a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was last year's movie.
Okay.
You are way behind.
I'm a year behind, yeah.
Well, let's get you caught up.
What difference does it make?
I'd at least like you to see 1917.
All right. Well, I'll go to the theater for that.
And
are
you can
any
see
daytime?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on Netflix.
Are there any daytime matinees for 1917?
Probably on the weekends. I'm not so sure about the weekdays anymore. For some strange reason, I guess they don't do enough business. AMC cut back their weekday matinees, which is heartbreaking to me. I think they should at least do them on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I always went, Friday matinees. But, it's their business.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love you to join us if you'd like to weigh in on Adam Sandler get robbed, I guess would be the... Robbed is a bad term. It makes it sound like somebody...
Well, the movie was about robbery in a lot of regards.
But that's funny. But it makes it sound like Rob Center's name is in there somewhere. Like, if you have something officially taken from you, you got Rob-centered. You got robbed. So that's not right. Rob's a great guy.
This was sort of like Scarface with respect to language. My son was telling me about some people who left in the middle of the movie because there was so much foul language, let's just say. I mean, almost every other word out of this guy's mouth proved that there are certain words you can use as a noun, an adjective, an adverb, a pronoun.
So you heard the F word.
Oh, and many times, in many
times.
Variations, and in every possible context.
Okay.
Some people can't open their mouths without saying that word. In this case, the character Adam Sandler played made it his specialty.
So Uncut Gems is full of that?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure it's R for that, for the language of nothing else.
Okay.
Also, you know, they didn't, in my opinion, follow up on some of the things very carefully. You know, the guy he was just a loathsome individual. That was the whole point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in the end...
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you the end.
Yeah,
I won't spoil it for you because some people really love it and think it's an outstanding movie. I just didn't.
In the end, there's an end, and that's all we'll say
there
about
that.
There
is an end, yes. And the last scene I will tell you is the weirdest scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Hmm.
And I had no idea what it meant. I couldn't begin to fathom it.
Okay.
I mentioned it to my son in passing when I sent him an email telling him what I thought of the movie, and he didn't respond to explain it to me, as he often does. He's often very kind enough to explain to me what I don't understand in a movie.
Mm-hmm. But he did in this case.
No, not the last.
Well, you'll never understand it. You wouldn't get it.
I probably wouldn't.
Because you're losing it.
Well, I've lost it, apparently, with coming to terms with this.
For that.
But now, when are the awards being handed out? I didn't see that. It's usually sometime in February, isn't it?
Oh, I got rid of that.
After the Super Bowl or in the week between the Super Bowl, the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl?
I don't know. You look it up on your phone during the break.
Okay. We taking a break?
Well, no, it's 1 minute before the hour.
So we can't go early and end this misery? You obviously don't want to talk. I mean, I can't talk to you about these movies. You haven't seen any of them.
Well, I know what the talk is about them.
Okay.
I mean,
How does that help you?
I know 1917 is going to win Best Picture.
It should. Okay. Without a doubt, it should.
And I know Martin Scorsese is going to win Best Director, because he often does.
No, I think that should go to the director, Sam Mendes, who directed 1917.
Okay.
But that's just my humble opinion.
Wrong, no doubt.
No doubt.
All right, well, we are going to take a quick break. We're putting Joe out of his misery, right?
Well, I can't really discuss this with you. I'd love to be able to have an intelligent conversation.
Well, I'm not going to start going to the movies every weekend so I have something to talk about with you. That's not enough reason.
Well, all right, if you say so.
You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565 is that telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We do have some brief news headlines here. After attending a 90-minute briefing in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania's U.S. Senators Casey and Toomey shared their opinions about the imminence of any threat involving the U.S. Senator Bob Casey said he wanted more answers to the question, precisely what does imminent mean?
And what I didn't hear in that briefing was an answer to the basic question, what was the imminent threat? What was the nature of it?
On the other hand, U.S. Senator Pat Toomey said he was satisfied with the answer.
There were two big reasons that the president did the right thing, is by killing Soleimani, we maximized the chances that we would disrupt or prevent this attack or series of attacks that were imminent. But the second became necessary to restore deterrence.
There were a classified briefing for senior members of the Trump administration Wednesday afternoon. Both senators offered conference call opportunities for reporters last week. One of the Valley State Senate leaders says he's running for re-election. Gene Yaw, who lives in Loyal Sock Township, Lycoming County, and represents the 23rd District in the State Senate, says he's running for another four-year term. He is a Republican and has served since January of 2009. Yaw recently was elected chairman of the Chesapeake Bay Commission, says in a re-election statement that he's been a strong advocate for the natural gas impact fee. That fee, he says, has benefited his constituents as well as all Pennsylvanians. Britain's Queen Elizabeth II is preparing for a crisis family meeting to work out a future for Prince Harry and his wife Meghan after the Megxit controversy popped up recently. It's their dramatic decision to walk away from royal roles. Well-wishers cheered the monarch Sunday as she made her weekly trip to a church at her Sandringham estate in eastern England. Meantime, supporters of the royal family's feuding factions used the British media to paint conflicting pictures of who was to blame for the rift. Royal officials say the Queen had summoned her grandson Harry and his elder brother Prince William and their father Prince Charles of Sandringham, about 100 miles north of London, for a meeting today. Meghan won't be there. She's currently enjoying life back in Canada. And a bill has been proposed in Vermont that would ban cell phone use or cell phone ownership for people under the age of 21. The bill states lawmakers have concluded those under 21 aren't mature enough to possess guns, smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, and at the same time, that should apply to cell phones. The state recently increased the smoking age to 21 and barred those under 21 from buying a gun unless they take a hunter safety course. Democratic Senator John Rogers says he introduced the bill to highlight the restrictions on guns and doesn't expect it to pass. The bill cites distracted driving with cell phones as a leading cause of death among teenagers and cell phone bullying linked to suicide. So should we get rid of cell phones until the age of 21?
No.
All right. Well, that works out, folks. Thank you. 1-800-795-9565 if you quite
like
logic.
Saying you can't use a payphone or you can't pick up a phone and dial it generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the difference?
Well, you could use the internet for bullying if they don't let you do it on your phone.
Well, can you get a tablet? I mean, there are other alternatives people have if they're going to be mean and nasty. They don't need to rely on a cell phone.
Why don't we teach people not to shoot each other and not to bully people?
Let us have a chorus of Kumbaya. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Did you see over the weekend all the deaths in Philadelphia and Chicago?
Six.
And Baltimore. I'm sorry, Chicago, Baltimore and Philadelphia this weekend.
Yeah, police say gun violence claimed the lives of six people over the weekend in Philadelphia, including a 15-year-old boy shot twice in the chest in North Philadelphia Saturday afternoon, and a 24-year-old man shot in the head Saturday night in West Philadelphia. A man was stabbed in one of the deaths. Gunfire in North Philadelphia later claimed the lives of a 24-year-old man and a 31-year-old man. And Sunday afternoon, there was another one. So
how sad. One was stabbing, the others were guns.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
okay.
It says gun violence claimed the lives of six people, but there's only five guns and one knife. Not that that matters.
Why don't we
much.
Just say violence claimed the lives?
Well, earlier today, we had two women on Sunrise who are organizers of the upcoming showing of We Are Columbine at the Campus Theater Wednesday, February 5th. Lauren Peck lived in Colorado at the time, was a teacher at the Columbine High School, and was on maternity leave at the time of the shooting.
Hmm.
And so she wasn't in the building, but she was going to take her infant into the school that day and just started to run behind, and so she didn't make it. But then the shooting happened that day, and Aaron Brown was with her, who lived in Littleton, Colorado, and attended a different school district in Littleton at the time in middle school. So they were talking about gun violence. And they expressed today their surprise that we haven't done anything really that would relate to significant gun restrictions. We've beefed up security at school. We have backpacks with bulletproof backs in them for kids to take to school. And do we change any gun laws?
I don't know. I can't think of any that would make it that would have prevented any one of those unless it's an outright ban on guns that was enforced.
Well, no, we didn't change any gun laws.
Joe from Denver, who wants to talk about gun violence, maybe he has
all
a solution.
House Member
Fred... Oh, you're not done?
Well, I was just going to say House Member Fred Keller is going to come in today. Maybe we can talk to him. Senator Toomey has a half a dozen common sense measures that would make us safer, he says. So maybe Congressman Keller is making a campaign appearance here later this morning at 9:30. So we'll ask him about this. 1-800-795-9565. I guess at this precise moment, we're talking about gun violence. Very violent weekend over the weekend in Philadelphia.
And we can talk about something more peaceful, which is the way the United Methodists have come up with a proposal to split their church.
1-800-795-9565. Joe, thank you for calling in. You're on
the
mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Gun violence is always a good topic. One of these days, we'll start dealing with the cause of gun violence, and we'll stop trying to attack inept objects and go after the real problem, which is the people who commit these crimes and are immediately released to commit more crimes. And eventually we'll get sick of it and warehouse these people for long periods of time and send a clear message to people that use guns and carry guns that if you commit a crime and you're in possession of a firearm, we're going to get rid of you for a long stretch. A 10-year stretch with no parole from the date of sentencing would send a clear message. Half of the gun, matter of fact, over half of the people killed in gun violences the individual has possessed a firearm and left and been arrested in under 5 years and is back out on the street doing the exact same thing again. And there's so many instances where these people could be warehoused and gun violence would drop drastically. And we just need to get the approach that the criminals got to go.
So but, jailing more people would be part of a solution anyway.
I think we really could make a severe dent. We wouldn't solve the problem 100%. And we just got to look. It isn't the fact that the gun's legal or illegal. It works or doesn't work. If you're in possession of a firearm, you steal a car, it's 10 years, no parole. You go buy a bag of weed, you got a gun, 10 years, no parole. From the date of sentencing, not the date that they're arrested. If it takes 6 months for them to go to a trial, and at the end of that trial, the date the judge sentences them is the date their time starts, sends a clear message that we don't want you in our society. We are sick of you people. We've had it, and we won't see you again. And until we get that process, that thought process in our heads that these people need to be gone, they'll never change.
Well, you're going to pay a lot for this. I mean, you're already paying for a new prison in Northumberland County, and you're paying their room and board and medical expenses on a daily basis.
I'd like to do a survey or ask your listeners out there, call in if there's anyone out there that wouldn't go to bed at night feeling comfortable knowing that these people who want to kill people are away for 10 years at a stretch. Everyone would pay higher taxes.
Right. Yeah,
I may not
would.
Be saying this the best way of putting it, but if you ask people out there if they'll pay higher taxes to get rid of these people, you would, I would, anyone in their right mind would want these people gone from our society. And that's what we need. As far as that terrorist goes, I mean, the excuse of imminent threat. I mean, how many more hundred servicemen do we need to lose? How many more need to be maimed? How many women and children and need to be tortured, beheaded, sold into slavery, their lives destroyed by this man? I mean, how many more? How many excuses can we make for getting rid of somebody this evil? I mean, the atrocities, if you add up the atrocities of Osama bin Laden and the atrocities that this man has committed ever since he appeared on the scene in 79 when they took the embassy, it is horrific as far as being involved in Beirut and the bombing there, numbers all around the Middle East. And everyone in the Middle East is glad he's gone. And the only people that aren't glad he's gone are the National Socialist Democratic Party. It's absolutely incredible. And there are a few rhino Republicans, or I like to say closet Democrat Republicans, who are on the same page, which I don't get, but that's a different story.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Well, we're going to take a quickie break, but we invite all comers. We're talking about gun violence. Is there anything we can do about gun violence? Any common sense changes in gun laws that would make us safer? Senator Toomey's got a couple of ideas. We asked the moms group today, and that they weren't. Universal background check seems to be one thing that seems to be an idea. But beyond that, a lot of it sort of relates to what our good caller said, that it's going to have to start sort of systematically in the whole village, not necessarily with a law change. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would love to hear from you, as we've heard from some of our good listeners via text. So we will read those on the radio when we come back. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by U.S. Congressman Fred Keller. So it's a campaign appearance, too. So I guess that makes a slight difference, and we'll be sure to ask him about that. Joe, the texts, please.
Yeah, one of them says, no, Mark, there was no gun violence claiming lives in Philly. There were humans committing violence on fellow humans, and a gun just happened to be the tool used. Guns don't commit violence on their own accord, only evil humans. And then another texter says, the White House is owned by the NRA. They will never change anything until their families are harmed. And that's signed by Bob. And he also says, I would like to say gun owners need to be held more responsible if their gun is used in a murder. If their gun is used in a killing, they need to do jail time.
All right. We'll save those last two that relates to the congressman.
Right.
So when he's at the microphone, we'll ask that question. Lance, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Well, you know, it seems like the lives lost through someone using a firearm seem to be so much more important than lives lost otherwise, in other means. Like, for instance, in 2018, were 91 people that were killed in mass shootings. At one time, they decided that 4 was a mass shooting. They dropped it to 3 in 2013, okay? During that year, 3,500 people died on the highway because somebody else was drinking, okay? In 27 years at school, we're talking Parkland, and then 27 years before, 150 kids and their teachers were killed in school. Every 8 months, that many kids under the age of 14 were killed by drunk drivers, 150. So, I don't know, are these people really interested in saving lives, or are they interested in disarming us? I mean, it's just something to really think about.
Okay.
And we think about our stupid drug laws. That's really what precipitates all the warfare in the city.
If you say so. If you say
that's
so.
That's all you have. So if
well,
you
say, no, really, it does.
It's going to be quite a program if Joe's going to
our
just
stupid
keep repeating
drug
that.
Law, well, I don't know how to respond to that. Our stupid drug laws create all the violence in the inner city? How?
Well, how is, a lot of that is marijuana, for one thing. If you go down to Harrisburg, which is the most unsafe city for its size probably in the United States, pretty close, I'd say. It's like 24, 30 per 100,000 every year. If you read the paper, it's a drug deal gone bad that does everything in. So I think it should be a little more liberal than that. I'm anxious to see how it comes in for deaths due to drug deals gone bad in places that have legalized marijuana. I mean, I'm really anxious to see those stats when that does all come down. But that's one thing we could do that would really help.
Okay.
All right, we got you, Lance.
Thank you, Lance.
So much. All right, we got one call coming in, and I think it's safe to say that you ready, Freddie? Oh, hey, wait, that's
ready.
A funny phrase.
Ready, Freddy.
It really works out.
I haven't heard that for a while.
I know
yeah.
we've known him for a long time, but let's give the guy some respect. He is our congressman, after all.
I'm okay with that.
U.S. Congressman Freddie Keller.
Frederick.
Frederick. Actually, I get called Frederick by my wife probably when I don't behave properly.
Yeah, that's when I get That's when I get Joseph, too.
So I get that, and I used to get it from my mother. Those were the two people that called me Frederick, so...
Well, if you got your prescriptions at CVS and they called to tell you you had one, they would say, "Hello, Frederick, your prescription is ready."
I guess they probably would, wouldn't they?
The computer.
Go to a local pharmacy.
Well, we have one person here who is already taking you on this morning, Fred. He says, "Good morning. I would like to say to Mr. Keller, he will not get my vote in the next election. He voted against the president being required to tell Congress before starting a world war in Iran. Thanks," he says. "I'm not aware of a world war, but you've announced that you're running for re-election, and you've got all this other stuff you've got to deal with now. You were an expert on things in Pennsylvania, and now you're learning all the stuff going on in Washington. And what's your opinion?"
What's my opinion? First off, I want to say thanks for having me on the show today. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the good listeners and all the great people of PA-12, just outstanding individuals. And, you know, something comes to mind, and I guess I'll start off this way. The people in PA-12 are very thoughtful, hardworking individuals. We witnessed that today. We were coming up to the radio station to take some trees down over here on County Line Road.
Oh, you had to take a little detour, maybe?
And, well, we came by there, and they were just getting set up and stuff. And the one gentleman, it's Apache Tree Service, the one gentleman's my neighbor, Mr. Long, who is, and this is the people of PA-12, 84 years old or in his early 80s, somewhere 83, 80, somewhere, and running his business out here working today. And that's just, the outstanding people at PA-12 that just get up and work hard every day. And it's really a privilege and an honor. And myself and my team, we work just as hard for them, and they deserve that so very much.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Now, this is a campaign appearance. In what way does that differ from a congressional appearance? Of course, it was set up by your good campaign leader, so yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah, actually, when you look at what we do, and this is the same as it was at the state level. You know, there are there's the official business that we do every day and work on that, and then there's campaign, and we keep those separate. Campaign activities do not happen using resources that are paid for by the taxpayers, and so all the communication, Mark, as you noted, was through Nick Barley, who's our campaign manager, and not through our office or any of our offices, either in Washington, D.C., Elms Grove, Williamsport, or Tunkhannock. That's for the official side of things. Very bright line that is there. We keep it there, and it should be there. So.
Right, so you're running for your first official two-year term, having been elected in a special election last year by a wide margin, 3-1 margin or so. Let's see. Well, what's it like? How about an opening remark, an opening campaign remark as congressman?
Well, I would say this again, just building on how we started here. It's really an honor and privilege to be able to serve the people of PA-12 in Washington, D.C., after having served the people of Union and Snyder counties in Harrisburg for a little over 8 years. Again, people are very thoughtful, diligent, and hardworking, and our way of doing things at the state level, and now as I'm in the federal level, is the same. We are responsive to the needs of the people. We work for the people that live in PA-12. Their interests are everything that we put first. Those are the priorities. We spend a lot of time on the official side, meeting with constituents and getting out to businesses, getting around the district, as I did on the campaign side, too, and will continue to do, because if we're not out among the people listening and understanding everything that's important in PA-12, you need to get to. People deserve things. Number one is that they deserve somebody that's going to listen to what they have to say.
Well, this election is going to be with the current districts drawn up by the state Supreme Court.
Yes.
But the census is also going to take place in 2020, and PA 12 could change rather dramatically after the after that census, wouldn't it? And there's some talk that Pennsylvania will lose a congressman. Do you have any thoughts about that? Are you hearing anything in Harrisburg about what they're saying?
Well, again, as you mentioned, that's going to be up to what happens in Harrisburg. Seeing what happened and what with that, the potential is if Pennsylvania's population doesn't grow as much as other parts of the country, we could end up losing a congressional seat in Washington. If our district looks different, which it likely will, how different it will look after 2020, in 2022. That's not really a concern. What the concern is making sure that the people that live in that district were actively engaged. Whether the boundaries are the same or close to the same or different, we'll make sure that we're on the ground, advocating, learning, and then advocating for what's important to the district we represent.
Well,
whether it's the same as it is now or different.
Well, they wouldn't carve you out of Congress, would they?
Well,
put him in another district with another congressman. That's happened before.
Well, that's happened before. But I think the one thing you look at, our districts around this part of the state are very, very large. So it's harder to put two of these together than it would be somewhere else.
Right.
Not saying that you couldn't take pieces of it and put it elsewhere. It is the largest district in the Commonwealth, and there's people from up in Susquehanna County all the way to the lower border of Perry County, and of course in Potter County, and all in between. We get around and make sure that we're attentive to what's happening in each of the communities and important to the people there. We will approach that the same way, no matter what the lines end up being after any redistricting.
Well, you've had run against the same guy twice you ran against, Mark Friedenberg, yes, and he's announced that he will not run again. Are you hearing anything about a potential opponent on the Democratic side?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot, but that hasn't been our focus. And, our focus is the people of PA-12. Regardless of who runs for the office, that doesn't change what's important to people, PA-12. So I'm not going to focus on who might be running or who isn't running, because that really, that's not what drives the work I do. What drives the work I do is the people that are in the district that I have the privilege to represent. So, our message, what we do, isn't going to change based upon who might be running in an election against us.
What do you think is going to drive this election, Fred? Do you think it's going to be local issues and how well you as a congressman serve your constituency? Or is it going to be concern over President Trump, who has been, to say the least, a rather polarizing president?
I think it's probably going to be a mixture of both. I mean, it's important that you're taking care of the issues, and if somebody has an issue with government, you're taking care of that, which, the team that has been put together on the official side does very well with that. And here's an important thing to note. After getting elected, keeping in mind there was a special election, and I will say, Tom Marino was always responsive whenever I needed anything. It was helpful. But when he resigned and we had a special election, the staff was actually all let go from the federal government because there was a new person, and we had to interview and hire staff. Now, many of the people that worked for Tom, work for us and do a great job. But what happened was, and this is the thing we're proud of when you talk about taking care of the needs of the people of the district, I was sworn in on June 3rd. By June 6th, Ann Kaufman, our district director, had all three offices staffed and up and running to make sure we're taking care of the issues if somebody has a problem with, the federal government or needs help navigating something. And also our chief of staff, day one, swearing in day, I had to be prepared to vote, and there were things coming up. We were already reading legislation.
No orientation, yay or nay.
Yeah. You don't get that orientation period. Now, having understand how the process works in Harrisburg, which it's not the same, but there are things that are similar. Understanding that, we got up to speed and got up and running in Washington D.C. quickly too, but that's just the method to the service the people deserve.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are talking to U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here from the 12th District. Of course, you know him as a Snyder County, former 85th District House member, former Conestoga COO?
I would say operations manager.
Operations manager, okay.
Of the Beavertown factory.
For 2.5 decades there before he ran for public office. So I remember your first debate at the old Lewisburg High School. You were there. I think Trey Kazmir was one of the candidates. And
Eric Viker.
Right. Those folks were running. And, well, maybe if a Democrat runs again this year, you and I will be back on TV, too. We were on the WBIA debate, so.
Yes, we were.
We'll be back on. So, all right. We are talking to Congressman Keller. He's making a campaign appearance, which makes a slight difference. But we'll open up the phone lines. If you have a question for him that you would like him to talk about, what he'll do in the next 2 years in U.S. Congress, or you'd like a clarification or elaboration on something he's already done in Congress, call us 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Fred Keller's here from Cramer, Pennsylvania, running for U.S. Congress. His district includes Snyder, Mifflin, Perry, Juniata, a bit of Center County, Clinton, Lycoming,
Sullivan.
Snyder.
I did say that's where I started.
No, yeah. Wyoming, Potter, Tioga, Wyoming. Bradford, Susquehanna.
Do you know how many game lands you go through on a daily basis?
Well, I see them on the GPS when I'm traveling.
Okay. All right. So a huge district, but largest district in Pennsylvania. But you were saying off mic, Liz Cheney has the whole state of Wyoming.
And Dusty Johnson has the entire state of South Dakota. And Don Young has the entire state of Alaska.
That's just crazy.
So it's population. That's the way it goes.
And, okay.
As I mentioned, too, I had when I bought lumber for Conestoga, I had Pennsylvania, part of New York, New England, parts of Canada. So.
Okay. And now you're covering the whole territory, but going down to Washington, do you go to Washington on a daily basis or stay down there? I know you started out staying with friends or family relations, I think.
Actually, my wife's niece and her husband live in the northwest corner of the district, so they have an efficiency apartment in their home when they remodeled, and I'm staying with them. And
Okay. Are you doing all this tweeting? Do you do that personally, or do you have good people that are...
We have a team.
Okay.
A tweet team? Well, not a tweet team, but you have a communications, people that work on communications and people that, we all work together, but all the tweeting and things that come out are things that are my position on the issues. And, so the messages that come out are, of course, my messages and so on. So.
Have you ever done an entire tweet all by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. I figured. You didn't drag somebody to, one of these Susquehanna milking contests in Susquehanna County milking contests at 6 a.m. on a Saturday, so you did that one yourself.
But I will say something, when you talk about taking people and different things, the staffs that work in our offices, and, they are accessible many, many hours of the day. And I'll give you an example. I was with a gentleman, texted me one Saturday morning and said, "Hey, you going to be around for a while?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be in Selins Grove." So I met him, and somebody had an issue with a passport. So I texted Ann, our district director, that was probably 8 o'clock on Saturday morning when I met him at the Pepper Tree, and she got right back to me and said, "Have him call the office today. Leave a message for Jackie." And
Pepper Tree. You're a regular there still?
Well, absolutely. We were at Riata's on Saturday, and Pepper Tree, and I've got to become a regular up at Dolly's Diner in Williamsport, and that's probably the best thing for gathering information is when you're out at events. I was at the basketball game at Susquehanna, Selins Grove, and Shikellamy. Saw my former social studies teacher, Mr. Weir, there. But a lot of people, you can gather a lot of information on how people feel, and it's in the environment they're comfortable with. So I think the dialogue is very good, you know, when you're around in a community. And that's why our terms are 2 years. That's why we're supposed to be out in the community listening and talking to people. And I love doing that. I mean,
well, you mentioned your staff. How many people work for Congressman Fred Keller?
There's between D.C. And the district, the people at PA 12 have a staff of about 14 people.
How many work for State Representative Fred Keller?
Well, again, State Representative Fred Keller, there was three, and then we had a secretary down in Harrisburg that we shared with another person. But we were covering a county, not even two entire counties there. And in all fairness, now we are covering we are covering 15 counties. So we had one district office there. We have three district offices at the federal level. So, you know, there are some things, but, you know, we are very attentive to making sure we're responsible. We realize we're overhead, so we want to be responsible overhead and make sure that we're doing everything as efficiently as we can.
Now, assuming you're not a committee chairman, I would suspect you'd have a larger staff then, but is that average for congressmen?
Yeah. What it is you as in Congress, it's a little different than the State House, because in the State House, the people work for the caucus. In Congress, you're giving there's an amount of money for the representation allowance, members representation allowance, and you hire people. And if somebody wants to have a large staff, I guess they could have a larger staff, but they got to fill within that. They go outside of those boundaries, they got to pay it themselves.
One of our listeners who sent us a text earlier, I guess we got sidetracked, maybe we didn't answer his question satisfactorily, wonders why you voted against the restrictive measure that Congressman Pelosi was advancing.
Are you talking about the thing on the War Powers
Act?
Yes. Yeah, keep in mind that Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president the authority to protect Americans and America's interests. And when you look at what happened with Soleimani and what he did and the terror that he did, and the administration had intelligence noting that, you know, Americans and Americans' interests were at stake, and take a look at what happened leading up to that. Leading up to that, you know, we had a drone of ours downed. We had, you know, there were attacks on oil fields in places. But then there was our embassy, and our embassy was attacked. And the administration...
Iranian-backed protesters is the phrase that media uses. That's accurate?
Well, yeah, the people were coming out of, you know, they were organized by the terrorists. The thing the media isn't covering now is the Iranians that are now demonstrating against their government and applauding the death of Soleimani because of the things he was doing. So the president was well within his rights of the U.S. Constitution to make sure that no more Americans were harmed by the plans of the attacks he wanted to carry out.
I know our CBS News carried on their app a timeline of what led up to that. It's just to remind people that this wasn't a one-and-done thing.
I mean, the
attacks were just ridiculous over
Iranians
the years.
Iranians have been attacking America since 1979. Let's be clear about that.
Well said.
You know, and when you look at what's happened over history, President Trump said, I'm not going to appease you. They've been shouting death to America for years. I'm not going to appease you, and I'm not going to send you boatloads of cash hoping you don't build a bomb on my watch. I'm looking at a long-term strategy, and after that happened, and the president addressed the nation, he said, Iran can participate in the world community, but we're not going to allow them to do it from a position of terror.
Are you at all concerned, Fred, that a survey released by ABC this morning shows that 56% of Americans say they disapprove of the way President Trump is dealing with escalating tensions with Iran, 43% said they approved, and 52% said they feel it makes the United States less safe?
Well, that was done by ABC.
Yes,
that's okay. What I said.
They were the ones that said that he wasn't going to win the election in 2016, too, right?
That would be the one.
Okay.
All right.
So consider the source. Would that be your reply?
Well, my whole thing would be President Trump might handle things a little differently than some other presidents, but President Trump handles it within the scope of the Constitution and the law that he's allowed to do. And again, he's not going to pay people and send them cash hoping they don't do things on his watch. I mean, so when you look at what the president has done, is he's done exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to put America's interests first and making sure that Americans are protected. And when you look at the information that was that the president used to make the decision, what they did leading up to this, I don't think he acted inappropriately.
That's your phrase. You invented that. I'm going to do, when elected, what I said I was going to
do. I like the other phrase he said, that the president's not afraid to show America's teeth, and I think that's the truth.
Yeah. And when you don't respond to that, he'll show you America's bite.
Mike, thank you so much for waiting. You are on the mark with a campaigning Congressman Keller.
You got a question?
Congressman Keller. Yeah, well, this is Mike from Bloomsburg. In the last 2 weeks, I've had two very uplifting things. One was watching the Pennsylvania High School FFA on PCN Network at the Farm Show. What a wonderful bunch of kids. And I'm sure that you represent many of them in your district. They're just great. And the second thing is being able to talk to you, a congressman, from my house. It's just unbelievable that this can happen. And the question I have for you is I'm reading an editorial by a University of California professor who thinks that we should basically eliminate home ownership and herd people into public housing, and you know that's contrary to the Jeffersonian ideal. And the reason for that is that would increase federal power, and that way it could be used to fight global warming. And I'm just bringing this editorial up that was in The Nation by this UCLA professor to highlight the difference between what I see as the red states and the blue states. And you represent, I guess now we're a blue state, or purple, I'm not sure what they want to call it, but let's face it, the people in your district are a lot different than the elites on the coast. And how do you feel about trying to walk that thin line about representing everyone when you have a job to do at home here? And I'll just let you answer that question.
Okay, Mike, thank you. We heard you. Congressman heard your question.
Thank you, Mike. And I will start out with the first part of the FFA. That is an outstanding program, and a lot of good kids in FFA. In fact, I got the honorary state degree and also from the chapters of Selins Grove and Midwest when I was state rep. So that was really an honor that the kids selected me for that. On how we approach the job to make sure we represent our area accurately, and I know you mentioned, you know, the coasts, and then, of course, you're talking about different affiliation. The one thing I would say in the guiding principles behind how we approach our job should be the Constitution of the United States. And with an editorial saying, and again, I did not read the editorial, so I'll just say that, go on the premise that somebody wants to eliminate home ownership, our Constitution allows us to own property, and that's a fundamental right of people. In fact, there was some debate over the weekend about what the Constitution, but the 14th Amendment says life, liberty, and property are things that
in pursuit of happiness.
Well, no, it doesn't say. Yes, I guess that you would say that, but it actually does say that it's in the 14th Amendment, clearing some other of the Constitution. So I guess the way I approach it is the fact that. You got a constitution, and it matters. And when you look at the rights guaranteed, the rights that we were given by our Creator, that are guaranteed in our constitution and paid for by our veterans, need to be protected.
All right, we're taking questions for Congressman Keller. Good morning, Lance. You're on the mark.
You have a question?
Oh, well, here it is. You have been accused of being a sycophant for Trump. And I believe that to be true, and I'm very proud that it is. And here, we're always hit with accelerating incomes and inequality. Well, there's a graph in the Weekend Journal that shows the first 11 quarters of the Trump administration and the second Obama term of 16 quarters. And it's really striking. In other words, increase in median weekly earnings on an annual basis.
Okay, what's your question, Lance? We're taking questions.
Well, yeah. Well, you continue to back Trump.
Okay.
You good are question. Doing That's a good question. We'll get you the answer.
Thank you, Lance.
Okay, as I mentioned before, the president campaigned. And here again, the president campaigned and kept his promises. And when you look at what the president has done and what we're looking at, putting America first, America's economy, when the guy's right, I'm supporting him. And right now what I've seen, he's been keeping his promises. He's been doing what he said he's going to do. He's done what what the people that the electorate.
We've got to be able to come up with something better than sycophant.
Well, I was going to say they use the word sycophant, and anybody who knows Fred Keller knows he's not a sycophant.
And you guys know me well enough, and everybody knows me. If somebody were to do something that were inappropriate, I would call them out on it. I did that when I was in Harrisburg, and you know we had the budget one time, and I've done that. But you know, I stand up for what is. You know, look at the Constitution. Look at how I told you I was going to behave, and that's what I do. And if that means the president's right, the president's right. And I am going to stand up for the work he's done to benefit all Americans. And when you look at the accomplishments of this administration, when you have the lowest unemployment rate since I was 4 years old, you've got a booming economy, and wages are rising more for the lower wage earners than they are for the people at the top. I mean, there has been, across all demographics, a huge success, and it's been done by policies, you know, put out by President Trump and the administration. The United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, USMCA, would not have gotten done if President Trump wouldn't have taken the leadership and negotiated that contract and sent it over to the House. And it only got done because we put enough pressure on the Speaker to say, get it done.
Well, one of our good listeners called Financial Friday last week and said, if you haven't gotten a raise in the past year, change jobs. So, all right, we're going to have to take a quick one-minute break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We've got 30 seconds for Dale.
Do you have a question, Dale?
Yes, about free press. You think it's fair where the free press hasn't been able to ask any questions in 380 days, and the White House is controlling the narrative because the free press is trying to help the people understand the narrative when...
Oh, yeah, good question. Okay. All right,
the congressman has heard you, and do you have any comment on that?
Okay. Well, again, I know the president oftentimes walks up to the microphones and takes an interview.
They call it a spray, a press spray or something?
Yeah, so, I know he's walked up and he's been accessible. I mean, I think some people don't like the fact that... you know, he uses Twitter, but, you know, it's an effective way in getting out the message. I know when my son went to college, they said, you need to learn how to communicate how your child communicates, which meant using some of those Twitter and things that I hadn't done when he went to college in 2009. So I hadn't been as well versed in some of those communication things. So I think the president, in addition to taking those press moments, also uses social media, as everybody does, to communicate and get his message out. And I think there's probably some people that aren't happy with that, or you know, don't like the way he does it. But I think it's I think he uses all methods. He uses them, and he does answer the press's questions. And
but he stopped the daily press briefings that Sarah Huckabee Sanders used to give, and I thought were very informative. Mm-hmm. She handled herself very well, I thought.
I thought she did. I thought she got treated very unfairly by some people.
No argument there.
One of our listeners says, please ask the congressman what kind of anti-gun measures the Democrats have in the system for this year?
Well, you know, it all depends on what level of government you're going to be at, but there's some restrictions that people want to put on magazine, the size of a magazine, and you know the kind of guns people would be able to own, whether it's a semi-automatic rifle or what people call military-style weapons. And I guess the first thing I would like to say is our Second Amendment should not be diminished. I am a member of the Rifle Association. I love to hunt. I love to go to the range. But, you know, it's the Second Amendment. And, of course, in Pennsylvania, we have, you know, Article 1, Section 21 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, which, you know, is quite clear when it talks about gun ownership and defense of the oneself or the state, that the right to keep and bear arms should not be questioned. You know, a lot of people talk about guns and what happens, but I think it's a matter of how people, respect that right and how people behave.
Well, Nancy Pelosi has said she's going to send the articles of impeachment off to the Senate sometime this week. Do you think that's hurt? What she's done has hurt the Democrats or helped them? And what do you see as the outcome of that trial in the Senate?
Well, what I'll say is that they are supposed to go over, I guess, later this week. The managers are going to be appointed, and we'll vote on that, and then it will be transmitted to the Senate. You know, it's going to go over. The Senate's going to set up the rules and how they're going to handle it. They'll have the trial, but I don't see any evidence that they can. What can they point to that the president? I mean, he released a transcript of the call. And it's an important thing to note that the National Defense Authorization Act, which has been voted on for years by Republicans and Democrats, and you got President Zelensky, who ran on an anti-corruption theme, but the National Defense Authorization Act requires the president, before he transmits Americans' dollars that taxpayers pay to a foreign government, he makes sure there's no corruption. And for him to make sure that they're rooting out corruption in Ukraine, and that's what his call was about. You know, he was, so they're going to impeach him for following a law, I guess. I don't know.
30 seconds left for a campaign closing statement.
Okay, what I would like to say is it's really been a privilege and honor to represent the outstanding, hardworking people of PA-12. I would appreciate an opportunity to continue to do that. Fred Keller for Congress is our website. If you would like to find out how to help or get involved in the campaign or have any questions, please, Fred Keller for Congress.
Well, please come back when it's our turn again.
All right.
We appreciate
we'll do that.
I said off mic, I don't like that he's congressman because we have to wait our turn so much longer now. But please come back. You got an open mic anytime. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller. This is WDKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.